Off the Ball.
GAA.
Junior club players around the country would get the same attention. Players are targeting McPhail, and he has to be ready for it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Right, Carl Dennehy, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good. Tired, I think, like everyone involved in Irish athletics out in Rome, but good.
I don't think anybody's got any sleep, have they? It's just been excitement from the get-go.
It has. I mean, what a way to start it with that mixed relay gold on Friday night. And yeah, it kept going. Obviously, heartbreak for Sarah Lavin on Saturday night, but bounced back in style yesterday with that gold from Kira McGeehan. And I suppose the gold rush could well continue tonight as well in that 400-metre final.
Let's talk about Kira first. So she's had a bronze, she's had a silver at the Europeans. To get the gold, obviously, is an incredible crowning moment in terms of that succession. In the immediate aftermath of her interview that we saw on TV, she was already talking about, you know, I'm not the finished article, I still have a bit more to go, and I feel like I got more in the tank. When you guys got to speak to her maybe a little bit after that, what was her reflections on where she is now and the race itself?
Yeah, I think, look, she's not the finished product. That's the reality. And that's what was so promising about last night in terms of it was such an impressive last 100. And obviously, as always these days, it was a tactically perfect race. She saved her energy the whole way around, just sitting quietly in the pack, but also in a place where she could track every move. A few nervous moments on the final bend, obviously. But to do what she did in that last 100 and to beat the athletes she beat, I mean, Katie Snowden is a 3:56 1,500-metre runner. Gemma Reekie was fourth in the Olympics over 800 metres. You know, she put some really good athletes, put daylight between them. The thing is, of course, every athlete, all those athletes are targeting the Olympics, which is still 8 weeks away for the athletes. So, yeah, she's not there yet. And she said as much that she's not there yet. But she said, you know, she's excited to get back training, said to her boyfriend during the day. And that speaks volumes, really, that I think she kind of took this achievement in her stride, which is huge because it's her first major championship title. And I'm sure the pride will be flowing through her later on this evening when she's standing on that podium, you know, watching the end or listening to the anthem that she speaks so often about and having her gold medal moment. But you can be sure as well she'll be getting in a workout tomorrow and going straight back to work over the next 7 weeks to kind of put the finishing touches on for Paris.
It's great for her confidence. It's a great sense of, actually, I've recovered from all of the injury issues that I've ever had. I'm, you know, not that she hadn't done that already anyway, but I think Dermot O'Rourke was making the point that these days don't come along that often where you actually get the opportunity to stand up there and hear the anthem, and it is a career moment.
It really is, and I think when you look at Kira McGeehan, I think all of us who are involved in Irish athletics remember what a talent she was. I remember a friend of mine who was at the Irish National Indoors when she broke out at the age of 15, just came and said, you need to see this girl, she is the real deal, you know, all of 17 years ago. And then she went and won the World Under 18 silver medal. She went and won a World Under 20 silver medal, which is generally the benchmark that championships for. If you have a chance, if an athlete is talented enough to make it at senior level, normally they're kind of doing it at World Under 20 level, they're up there. She was up there, but of course her whole Under 23 career was pretty much lost to injury. And, you know, now that she's 32 now, and she had her best year ever last year at the age of 31, you know, which is a bit late. Often athletes in the 1500 might have their best years in their late 20s around the age of 30. She is 2 or 3 years later than most, but there's an obvious reason for that she completely missed that Under 23 section of her career. So she is maturing later. So at the age of 32, when a lot of athletes might be winding down a bit, she is now fully at her peak. And these are her championship, her real medal years. And she couldn't be in a better place looking towards Paris. And yes, there are East African athletes. Faith Kipyegon of Kenya is pretty much unbeatable if she shows up healthy. And there's a slew of Ethiopians running in the mid to low 350s. But a lot of them don't tend to get it right on the big day at major championships. And we've seen in recent years, Kira runs her best race in major championship finals. And the way she's tracking, she's certainly in the conversation, and she's probably certainly going to be there going down the back straight in the fight for an Olympic medal once again, the way things look now.
What are you thinking and what are you seeing and feeling when you see her elbow her way through two of her British counterparts yesterday, Cathal?
Oh, we can't be saying elbowing now. It was a slick professional move that she had to get into that gap. No, it was, I think, you know, I think that was a move of absolute experience from Kira, because she was in there and you know, as much as it was staying cool, she'd have been in a bit of a panic because she was in a perfect position to strike behind the two British athletes with about 180, 150 metres to go. But then I think it was the French athlete who just swept up outside her and just put her in an absolute box. But, you know, I think athletes, when they've been around the 1500 long enough, and I used to run it myself much slower back in the day, you know, normally everyone's moving at a different speed in the last 120. If you're sitting in a pocket, a gap will open because of that. And it just takes a bit of composure to know that. So she had to sit there for five or six very nervous moments, very nervous seconds. But then she saw the little chink of light. And I think, you know, she could have been in trouble with the judges if she had used her arms, if she'd done something like kind of put her arms in and tried to force a gap, as a lot of athletes tend to do. But she kind of just moved. She maintained her natural running line, just darted into that gap and, you know, I suppose just imposed her physical presence. So that was a move that she was never going to really end up disqualified for. And it was the perfect move at the perfect time. And we saw the way she'd spent her energy up to that point for the first 1400. She had all the gears in that last 100.
Can you just explain the rules to us? Because Charlie Mosley was disqualified at the indoors recently enough. And I think a lot of us just assumed that in indoors, you basically can use your elbows. Certainly we would have grown up watching people. And that was part of the excitement of it. So was you're saying there was no danger, but in future when we're watching this, what are you not allowed to do?
So it's obstruction is the rule, and it's basically if you impede another athlete. Normally with Charlene's case, it's not written into the rules, but the accepted application of the rule is that you're supposed to have one stride length. She didn't have a stride length when she cut in on that athlete at the indoors, but it's a rule that's ignored 99% of the time once you don't completely, you know, balk an athlete in greyhound terms. But I think what was so visible that day in Charlene's race was the athlete kind of played up the interference, and you could see there was a bit, but normally that's ignored, which is why it was so surprising that Charlene was disqualified there. And then with Kira's situation, again, it's did you obstruct an athlete? So they would have looked at were either of the two British athletes, you know, severely impeded by what Kira did by darting into that gap. And I don't think you could say it was enough to warrant a disqualification. And I'm pretty sure 99.9% of athletics judges would agree.
I thought she spoke incredibly well. I don't know if you got to see the RTE coverage, but she spoke brilliantly about how this is for all of the volunteers and the stewards who stand on sidelines all around the country. And you can just, I can only imagine every volunteer who is involved in athletics around the country who's seen a surge in numbers post-COVID, absolutely thrilled for her that even in her moment of triumph, she's thinking about everybody else.
Yeah, I think I wrote in one of the articles last night, you know, she is a class act on the track, but, you know, in my decade or so of writing about Kira McGeehan, she's always been a class act off the track as well. And she remembers the people who matter in those moments, whether it's the coaches or volunteers. And it was great to see her remember that last night because, you know, Irish athletics is, I suppose, a smaller community than a lot of the other sports, but it's a tight-knit community where everyone knows everyone. And, you know, you don't hear a bad word said about Kira McGeehan. And I think it showed last night there was such joy for her on her behalf that, you know, at the age of 32, after so many injuries, so many heartbreaks and a lot of championships where she went to championships, say, back in 2016 in Rio, 2017 in London, holding good hopes of making a final. And it all fell apart for her on the big stage and she walked off the track in tears. So I think that's what made it so much more special for Kira and for everyone who's followed her career last night, that she finally had her golden moment.
Obviously, it was our second gold, as we've already referenced, the 4x400. We're going to be good at 4x400, it seems like, as long as Rashidat and Charlie Mosley are knocking about.
Yeah, they are two lethal weapons, you know, in terms of a 4x400 metres. As good as they are in the individual, they tend to even rise to another level once they have the batons in their hand. And yeah, they're very well backed up as well on the women's side by the likes of Phil Healy and Sophie Becker, who are going to be essential because, you know, it's very likely if in that mixed relay in the Olympics that Ireland, like Rashida, probably will not be available, I would imagine, for the heats of the mixed relay, given she's not going to want to tire herself out. But I would imagine if they make the final without her, she'll be drafted in for that attempt at an Olympic medal. But yeah, so that's why the backup will be essential. But yeah, once you have athletes like Charlene and Rashida, I mean, they're two athletes, probably with the exception of USA right now, but you could put them up against any other nation in the world and you'd fancy their chances for that half of the relay, for the women's part of the mixed relay. And obviously in the mixed relay, because the women are out there about 10%, about 5 seconds longer. The women are the most important part of the mixed relay, and you just need ample backup then on the men's side to kind of keep yourself in contention. And the likes of Thomas Barr and Chris O'Donnell, Ireland very much has that.
I know you got to go, Cathal, but just on that tonight, I've seen people mention that it is a genuine double medal hope with Rashida and Charlene in that final. Is that the case? Is that what you're predicting?
I mean, if you're a bookie and you're pricing this up, you'd probably make Rashid Adelecki favourite. You'd probably have Charlene maybe fifth or sixth. Right. So I think it's good to keep expectations in check on that sense. I think Charlene is a huge underdog for medal. However, she did say she didn't go all out down the home straight yesterday in her semi-final. Once she realised Lika Claver was just going to be ahead of her, she just said, right, just get second and try and save it for the final. So I would expect to see her more in contention. It looks to me like Rashida Adelecki versus Natalia Kaczmarek, who's the world silver medalist last year, for the win. Kaczmarek is not as good a 200-meter runner, but she finishes like an absolute steam train. So I think what we're going to see in tonight's final is Rashida Adelecki, who is a much, much better 200-meter runner than Kaczmarek, using all that speed over the opening half, probably turning for home with a 2 or 3 meter advantage. But if Kaczmarek is within a meter with 50 metres to go, Rashida Adelecki could well be in trouble. So really, she has to have built up more. By then, Lika Claver of the Netherlands is another big medal contender. She kind of goes like the clappers as well through 200 metres. She doesn't tend to finish very well. When she gets that pace judgment wrong, as we saw in the relay, Claver often falls apart in the last 50. That's the kind of situation where if Claver tries to go with Kaczmarek and Adelecki, which I don't think she's going to be able to do, she could fall apart. And that's where someone like Charlene Maudsley, if she times it to perfection, could come through and pick up the pieces and pick up a bronze. But in terms of that gold medal race, I can't really see anything besides Rashida and Kaczmarek going head to head over that last 50. Who holds their form, who holds it better, is going to get the gold. I think Rashida's the favourite. I think she's in the best form right now of any of these athletes. But sometimes her pace judgment can be off at major championships. She's going to have to get it right to 200 and 300. And then she's going to have to hold her form under immense pressure down that last 100 as Kaczmarek comes charging. So it should be a cracking race. And I'm predicting the gold rush is going to continue.
All right. On that note, Cathal, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you.
It's Cathal Denny making some time for us this morning from Rome. Predicting the gold rush is going to continue. I mean, it's all set up for an incredible summer, isn't it?
It's unbelievably exciting. And there is something so novel as well about the fact that Ireland are competing over 400 metres. It's just insane. We've never experienced this.
So don't take it for granted, basically. Yeah,
100%. It did feel that, you know, it does kind of track back, certainly from mainstream experience back to Rio and to that Thomas Barr emergence over those 400 metre hurdles. This is a bit different, isn't it? Obviously it doesn't win the medal, but we've seen what that event has gone on to become in the intervening years, like one of the most insane, entertaining pieces of sporting theatre you're ever likely to see, and the superstars that have emerged on that front. To think that in 2016 there was a man who was competing at that level, that was new and that was fresh, and then all of a sudden these generation of women's sprinters coming through are just different level, and then one in particular in Rashida, who could be an all-time great from an Irish perspective. It is outrageous.
Already very close to it, and still has hopefully a decade of running at this level to go. So.